Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. You can buy your book online or join Bishop Lambert for a special book signing on Wednesday, February 3rd at 7 p.m. at Lighthouse of Deliverance Gospel Church, located at 365 Blackwood Clementon Road in Lindenwall, New Jersey. God is calling Christians to a higher level of spiritual awareness. The Christian and the Culture is a valuable resource for overcoming the tricks of the enemy. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
And so here comes Satan building a stronghold. Well, if you go to Genesis chapter 3, he builds the stronghold. He comes to the woman and he says, "Did God say you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Notice the subtlety. What's he attacking? Her logical thought. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. The question was, did God say you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In other words, Satan comes to get you to exercise logic over God's command. He's God. None of our parents were logical. No parent is logical to the children because they're seeing it from their perspective. He comes and says, "Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now here's the problem. What's death? They have no point of reference. Nothing's dying. So now you see the desire of Satan. He no longer talks about the tree being forbidden. Now he tries to bring logic to death. Here's what he says. You shall not die. Well, she doesn't know what death is. So how does she know if she's going to die or not? Nobody understands what God is saying. I believe Adam had some insight into it, but nobody's fully cognizant of this death thing. And Satan says, you shall not die. He said, because God knows. Now what we're going to do is we're going to put the blame on God. In other words, God's going to take away your pleasure. Why did God say you have to have only a wife? Why can't God let you have a wife and a girlfriend? Come on now. He made you physically capable of doing it. And when you look in the Bible, some of these guys had 3, 4, 5 of them. Why can't you have more than one? Nobody's got to know. And that's what he's saying. He's saying to the woman, he said, you can go ahead and eat that tree. Eat that fruit. You ain't going to die. Here's what he's saying. God's a liar. You go ahead and you hate that person. Hate them. Hate them so badly that you lie on them and talk about them. Go ahead and do it. God ain't going to do nothing to you. You'll get away with it. Nothing's going to happen. You go right ahead. Your church will continue on. Things will be fine. He's lying. Why? Because in your mind, the battleground, the place for the stronghold, you legitimize it by what you perceive that person has done to you. And that's exactly what he does here in Genesis 3. He says to the woman, look at all those trees. Look at them. Aren't they beautiful? But you can't eat from that one. The sin that he was developing in her was covetousness. And covetousness starts in the mind. You look at something and you want it. You look at someone and you want it. Even if they belong to someone else, you don't care. You can justify your covetousness by saying, she don't treat him right. He doesn't treat her right. I can treat them better. But you can't do it legally. So the stronghold begins to build. With that stronghold comes hatred to the person who's legally in that relationship. So you wind up hating the wife or hating the husband, and they've done nothing to you, but you hate them because in your mind you want their spouse. Now you can't kill them, But that does not stop you from coming up with viable, valuable, credible reasons to you to continue that relationship. So much so that you construct a fantasy world that he's living with her, but he don't love her. They're together, but he don't love her. He loved me. And that hatred for her grows. That stronghold keeps adding bricks. And it all started in your mind because you looked at somebody, wanted what you can't have. Look at the person and say, oh, praise the Lord, they're attractive, but they ain't mine. And I don't like renting cars. If I'm going to have that car, I'm buying it. And I'm not trading in mine on one that I think is better. So I'm not divorcing just to get something else because I might wind up getting something worse than what I got. At least I know how to change the oil in this bad boy. The other one, I don't even know what an oil plug is. I told you about that woman that wanted me to give her a jump, and I pulled up my car. I said, yes, ma'am, I'll be glad to help you. She says, I got the wires and everything, and I pulled up in front. I opened up the hood and couldn't find the battery. So I closed the hood. I went to the dealer. I said, where's the battery? He said, oh, it's underneath. I didn't know that. Part of me was sad that I couldn't help the woman. The other part was glad that now I don't have to jump nobody because I can't get to the battery. We don't know what we're getting. Whoever thinks to ask when you buy a car, oh, where's the battery? Nobody thinks. You just expect it to be same way with relationships. You just expect people to treat you a certain way because you meet their representative. Their representative is always nice. Satan represented someone who cared about the woman's lack. God just doesn't want you to have fun. But the lion scalawag was trying to destroy their relationship with God. He didn't care anything about Adam and Eve. He didn't care about that tree. He just wanted them to see God differently. He was building a stronghold in their mind. And Paul said, cast down logical thought. Cast it down. If it's not in line with the word of God, cast it down. He says, every high thing that exalts itself against your knowledge of God. Every high thing, that means an elevated place. Anything that you put over your knowledge of God. I have been with this woman for over 40 years. And she knows my likes and dislikes. So if someone were to come to me and say, Lady Lambert sent you this sandwich and it's loaded with mayonnaise, I'd say, you lie like a Persian rug. She knows not to even put mayonnaise near my food. When she would get hoagies, she would get mayonnaise on her hoagies, and she would warn me, don't eat that one. That's got mayonnaise on it. I knew that was hers. So what is Paul saying? Don't let the devil ever challenge what you know about God, and don't receive anything that you know is contrary to your knowledge of God. I know God loves me, so he would not let anything come to me unless he's validating it. And if he's validating it, it's for my good. I know God is a good God, and I know he has plans to prosper me. So when the devil tries to bring me poverty and sickness, I reject it because it's against my knowledge of God, and I'll not let him build a stronghold. God doesn't want me sick. Say, how do you know? Because his name is Jehovah Rapha. He doesn't want me in poverty. For he said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. He doesn't want me afraid because he says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound. God don't want me schizophrenic and crazy. He gave me a sound mind. Ask your neighbor, you have a sound mind? Answer him. Tell him yes or no. Strongholds. Something that has been placed above your knowledge of God, even your secular knowledge. Don't graduate from school thinking you know more than God. Don't leave seminary thinking you know more than God. Don't graduate from cuts and think that you know more than God. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then here's what he says. Bring into captivity every thought. This word here, every thought, literally means mental devices. In other words, Paul is saying, check how you think. How do you think? Inner city people think differently than suburban people. It's just the training. We think differently. Problem with that is we bring it into church. Highly suspicious. We're incredibly, incredibly doubtful. Because we've been let down so much in our lives, we think God is going to let us down. When a promise of God comes to us through his leader, we're slow to respond because somewhere in the recesses of our thought process, we don't think it's going to happen. God says, if you give, I'll give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you really believed it, you'd give every dime that you have in your pocket. I did that experiment one day by calling my godson up here. I said, Darius, come down. And I asked him, I said, give me your wallet. Give me every penny that you have, and I'll see to it that you get it back. He, without hesitation, he reached in his pocket and gave me his wallet. Every dime he had, gave it to me and went and sat down. And someone is sitting right there now, you're saying, yeah, he could do that because he knew you. He knew you'd give it back. Duh. I cannot tell you the times that I've gone into church and the Lord, during the offering, he said, take everything you have in your pocket and give it in the offering. And I reached in and pulled my pocket inside out, put every dime in that offering, everything I had, because God said, he said, I'll give it back to you. I'm not kidding you. I don't have to stand up here and make up lies. My life speaks for me. I did it. One time I did it at a church service. The offering came. God said, put everything in the basket. I put everything I had in the basket. It was my lunch money. I was in my last year of high school. It was my lunch money. It was my go see Sheila money. It was all my money. I put everything in that basket. I remember going into the car to come home thinking I can't go see her this weekend because I'm not going to have no money. The pastor, the minister that preached, I was riding with them. Because their children and I were friends. So I rode to the service with them. The minister turned around and said, God said to give you this. I opened up my hand, and not only was it what I gave, but it was enough to round it off. So now not only could I go see her, but I could take her to get something at the store. All because I obeyed. See, the devil will sit on your shoulder and attack your logic. He'll tell you, all right, it's getting ready to be offering time. Get ready to leave. And you're starting to gather your Bible and stuff. All right, look, come on, let's get ready to go. See, because the devil's telling you that. The Holy Spirit would never tell you that because he knows that giving is a part of worship. Some of you say, oh, well, you know, praise the Lord, I got to go. And it's the devil telling you, get up and leave. What's he lying to you for? Because he wants you to doubt God. So in your logical mind, you say, I can't afford it. But why would God ask you to do what you couldn't do? I'm telling you right now, your thoughts keep you from developing the faith that God has. And it's a stronghold between you and your blessing. There's a castle that's been erected between God's blessings and you. And it started with your logical thought of what you cannot do. Spiritual warfare doesn't start in tongues and it doesn't start with demons. It starts with your mind.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
12-1-15-A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.